we're beginning to move toward Pentecost. And the Lord is beginning to teach them that he's going to go, and the world won't see him, but we will see him, and we will continue to experience him, but through the Holy Spirit. And this must have seemed stranger to them than it seems to us. But nevertheless, this is the way the Lord is going to relate to everyone who believes in him. So let's spend a little time today looking at some of these lessons about the Holy Spirit and also about love, love. And with all that in mind, we want to begin to look at the way the Lord opens the gospel, and he begins this way. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And he goes on to repeat, "Whoever has my commandments observes them and is the one who loves me." Now, in our modern setting, a lot of people like to separate out the law and love. And many people are dismissive of the moral law. Well, God doesn't care about that. God just loves me, you know, and who cares about, you know, particulars of God's law? But you notice that I'm not going to describe any more of that. I'm just going to show you that, look, Jesus, though, connects the keeping of the commandments with love. They go together. They are not to be separated. With that in mind, though, be careful, because what the Lord is doing here is, you could hear it two ways. Again, let's look at the first line. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, if you're not careful, you might hear something like this: "If you love me, keep my commandments." In other words, if you love me, prove it by keeping my commandments. As if you and I, out of our own flesh power, were supposed to keep commandments and somehow either earn or prove our love for God. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, the keeping of the commandments is not the cause of love, but the fruit of love. Because I love God, I begin to love what God loves and who God loves. Out of that love that begins to take root in me, I want what God wants, and I don't want what God doesn't want. And that's the fruit of love. And so the Lord is saying again, if you love me, in other words, if you allow my love to be within your heart, and you begin to respond in that love, I tell you, you will be keeping my commandments. You'll keep them. And you'll keep them not because you have to, but because you want to. Now the question is, how many of you want to keep the commandments, you see? It isn't just, all right, I'll do it so I don't get punished. Well, that's not really complete yet, is it? Now, let's talk a little bit about love. You know, love has this capacity, if you will, to help us to do so many things that otherwise we might not think about doing or want to do. I'm going to just say three things about love. And I'm not just talking here about God's love, but even just ordinary human love that we have. Love has a way. First of all, love is extravagant. Now, I've given you some of these examples before, but they're worth repeating. But you know, take a young man who's dating a young woman, and he says to her, "Okay, look, your birthday's coming up, and there's this tradition that I'm supposed to buy you a gift. So what is the cheapest gift that I can buy you so that I will not lose your favor, but so that I will fulfill this dumb tradition?" Now, he's not going to have a girlfriend for long talking like that, amen? See, love doesn't talk like that. Love doesn't ask questions like that. If he really loves her, he's excited that her birthday's coming, and he wants to buy her a gift, and he may spend more than he should, because love is extravagant. Love says, "What more can I do?" Not, "What's the least I can do?" You see, that's not the language of love. And yet, listen, how many Christians talk like this? "Do I have to go to church? How often? Do I have to give money? How much? Do I have to go to confession? How frequently?" We sound more like lawyers negotiating a deal rather than lovers who say, I love you, Lord. Of course I want to be with you on Sunday. And I might even come to the point where I can get and be with you on the weekdays and come to daily mass or pray. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to read your word. I love to hear from you. I love to hear your voice. I'm excited. I want to do more. Show me, Lord. Show me. Now that's love talking, see? Because love is extravagant. Love wants to do, and it provides its own energy. You're doing it because you want to, not because you have to. All right. Now, the other thing to say about love is that love tends to expand. It expands. You know, again, taking the example of dating, or if you will, I had a little experience of that back in high school and college, and I've told you this before, but I dated a girl who likes square dancing. So I started to like square dancing. I told you this story before, but I'm just going to say that love can expand. We begin to learn to love new things. And I also got to know her family and became very good friends with her brother, and her parents were very good to me, and we still stay in touch all these years later. And again, I simply say that what Paula liked, I began to like, and who Paula loved, I began to love. And that's just what love does. It expands. And, you know, I will say to you again, as a Christian now, in my journey with the Lord, I've learned to like things that I didn't used to like. And I've learned to understand and appreciate things that I didn't used to understand or appreciate just because I love God. For example, I'm just going to admit it. There was a time in my life when I found Mass boring. I don't find Mass boring anymore. But I'm just going to say, love expands. There were times in my life where I didn't like some of the teachings of the Lord in the Bible or in the Scriptures. But over the years in walking with God, I've come to understand and appreciate and love what God teaches. Love does that. It expands our heart and our mind. So love is extravagant, and love expands, and love is also excited and joyful. I've already developed this with you, but just again, look at an example of, let's say a young man is dating a young woman, and she says, would you please come and help me move my belongings? I'm getting a new apartment. Could you help me move the furniture and stuff? Now, moving furniture is hard work. Are you clear with me? Books and furniture, you know, we all got a lot of stuff. Okay, but you know what? He's excited to do all this heavy lifting all day long and to work up a sweat and to feel sore for days after because he's excited because he wants to spend time with her. He wants to please her. He wants to help. He's excited. Are some of you excited? You know, you talk to some Christians, they're not very excited about it, man. You heard the second reading. Always be ready to render an account for the hope that is within you. That means people notice something, right? They notice there's a hope in you. That you're joyful, that you're excited, that there's an enthusiasm about being in love with God. Oh, church, you know, but you go into a typical situation and you look at the congregation, you know. And it's like, wow, man, look at these bored believers. Look at these distracted disciples. The frozen chosen. You think you're not at a wedding feast, but you're at a funeral. Now, again, we all have different ways of showing attentiveness and joy. I'm not trying to just say it's only one thing, but listen, brethren, are you excited about knowing the Lord, you see? And love, it makes you excited. And you're even willing to do difficult things because you're so excited that God has asked you to do something and invited you to work with him on something. Are you praying with me, church? They say, oh, no, I'm not excited. He's getting ready to ask me to do something. He's going to ask me to open up my wallet a little more. I'm not going to do any of that today. I'm just going to say to you that love... You see what the Lord is getting at here? He's trying to teach us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you'll do it joyfully. You'll do it in a way that excites you. And even the things that challenge you now, your heart will begin to expand and you'll begin to understand and appreciate things that you don't appreciate now. But you make this journey with me. You let my love grow in your heart and you're going to keep all the commandments and more besides. Not because you have to, but because you want to. All right, that's the principle then, right, church? So the first thing we note here is the principle of love. But now, the Lord changes a little bit, and he goes like this. We now talk about not just the principle of love, but the person of love. And so the Lord says here in the text, he says, if you will ask me, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees or knows him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be with you. Now, these are long sentences. You know, this is a sermon Jesus was preaching at the Last Supper that's being quoted here, and it goes on for like four chapters. So I'm not the first one to invent the long sermon, all right? But I'm going to say that the Lord is fundamentally saying here, if you will ask me, I'll ask the Father, and we will send our Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you. Now, you see, we're not just therefore talking about love now as a principle or as some force or some abstraction, but love as a person, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He will come and live within us. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? I could go on a long time, but I'll just try to be brief and just say, look, brethren, the Holy Spirit is, first of all, the love of God. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And so powerful and real is their love that it is a person, the third person. The love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. So the Holy Spirit is the love of God. It is the life of God, the wisdom of God, the glory of God, the beauty of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the truth of God. The Holy Spirit is the life and the love of God. And Jesus says, oh, if only you would ask. Someone said, ask not, lest ye be answered. If only you would ask, I'd ask the Father and we'd send our Spirit. Oh, there's an old song that just says, King Jesus is a-listening all day long just to hear some sinner pray. What, he's waiting for us to pray for this. Say, Lord, increase your love in my heart. Increase your life, your love, your wisdom. Send your Holy Spirit to me, Lord. Oh, the Lord is, King Jesus is just a listening all day long to hear one sinner pray like that. You know, we're always praying, Lord, fix my finances. We're always saying, Lord, get me a new job. Go ahead, you ought to pray about that stuff. But oh, how the Lord is waiting for you to say, Lord, Lord, increase your love. Lord, increase your love in my heart. Send your Holy Spirit. Oh, church, he's waiting. I said he's waiting. And oh, how he wants to answer that prayer. You know, we need to ask for love. We need to ask for it. You know, our flesh is very weak. And too easily we become sour-faced. We become anxious. We become weighed down and turned inward and selfish. You got to keep asking for love all day long. Just say, Lord, increase your love. Increase your love. Give it to me, Lord. Send it to me, Lord. You see, again, and you know, yeah, let's just use marriage as an example. You know, an awful lot of couples have great love at the beginning, but then look out, too easily, the I do becomes you'd better. You see? The I do becomes you'd better. And their ideal marriage becomes an ordeal, and they want a new deal. That's why every married couple, you've got to pray every day, say, Lord, help me to really love my spouse, to have a tender love for my spouse. Pray for it. ask for it, work for it. See, otherwise, you see, our hearts tend to grow cold if we're not always stoking the flames of love. So ask God. Jesus says, please, he says, ask me for this. Would you please ask him for it? Amen, church?
Amen.
I see some looks like, ooh, I don't know if I want to ask for it. I see those looks. You see, something, my life might start changing or something. Yes, yes. But you'll be doing it because you want to, not because you have to. Okay, so we've seen now, first of all, the principle of love. The Lord says, look, if you would love me, you'll be keeping my commandments. See? And then why don't you ask then for this love, for this Spirit? My Father and I are longing to send you this love and this Holy Spirit. So that's the person of love. So we go from the principle of love to the person of love, and finally just a word on the proof of God's love, the proof. Now, again, another long sentence, but I'm just going to pick two phrases out of it to illustrate the proof of love. So Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while now, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. I know, it's complicated, isn't it? Two phrases I want to just pick out. You will live and you will realize. First of all, you will live. So once again, the Lord is saying, if you will ask, I will send you the Spirit. And I will ask my Father and we will send you our Spirit. And the first thing that will happen is you will live. You'll live. Now listen, I hate to repeat myself again, but you know, repetition is the mother of studies, right? So listen, brethren, I've said this to you many times before. My body's heading south. I'm 53 years old and it's just going to get worse, you know? I get tired a lot more easily now. You know, we all go through. But listen, spiritually, I'm in a much better place than I was at 23. Yeah. I could go on 2 hours sleep and be up without us when I was 23. That isn't true anymore. But I'm going to tell you, my soul and my spirit are more alive than I ever was at 23. The body's heading south, but the spirit is becoming alive. I'm more serene. I'm more confident. I'm more joyful. I know the Lord more. I've learned to love him more. I'm learning to love my brothers and sisters more. I'm just so grateful for the way the Lord is bringing me to life. I'm grateful. And I pray I'm not that's your own witness. Me too, Father. Amen? Amen? You know, if you walk with the Lord, you can come out of a lot of cloudy darkness and into brighter light just because you're walking with him. And even though your physical body's going, it seems to have less life, your soul becomes more alive, more joyful. St. Paul puts it so beautifully. He says, this outer self is wasting away. Actually, it's not wasting away, but this outer self, our body is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. And so the Lord says, listen, if you will ask, I will ask the Father, and we will send our Spirit, and you will live. You will become more and more alive. Eternal life does not simply mean the length of life, to live forever and ever and ever, but rather it means more the fullness of life. Yes, we'll live forever, but the point is more and more fully alive from moment to moment. And eternal life doesn't begin after you die. It starts today. If you will ask me, says the Lord, I will send my Spirit, and you will live. And the text goes on to say, you will realize. Now, this word realize, we use it all the time. And we tend to think of it kind of as an intellectual mechanism. But to realize something, the real root of the word means to experience something as real. To experience something as real. You will then begin to realize that I am in you and the Father is in you and our spirit. You will begin, in other words, to experience the reality, the power of the Lord working in your life. You will experience it as real, not just some theory or words on a page, or it's true because my mother said so, or my pastor said so, or even that the Bible said so. It's true. Yes, because of those things, but now it's true because I have come to experience it as real in the laboratory of my own life. I have said, Lord, send your spirit, and he's sending it, and my life is changing. This is not a slogan. This is real. And I'm a witness, and I'll raise my right hand and swear to it. I hope there's a few other witnesses in the church. If you make this walk with the Lord, you become more alive and you really begin to experience the power, the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of who God is. Oh, he's been so good to me, church. He's been good to all of us. And there comes this moment where it finally says, you know, after all this, Lord, I've just come to discover that you're real. You're not just on the pages of a book. You're a real living person, and you're alive, and you're ministering to me, and my life has been changed by what you've done for me. That's reality. And that's what it means to realize. And so the Lord is saying, look, if you will only ask, my Father and I will send you the Holy Spirit, and you are going to become more alive. You're going to begin to realize how true my word is. You're going to experience it all as real. You are going to experience the power in your life of love. And you will be keeping the commandments, and your life will be conformed to my will. And you'll be doing all this not because you have to, but because you want to. Why? Because I will give you a new mind. I will give you a new heart. I will in every way change your life from the inside out. You will be glorified by this sending of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change your life. I've promised it, says the Lord. And if you will only ask for it, I will do it. I will send not just a force, but a person, my very Holy Spirit, to live in you like a temple and have communion with you and change you. And that's where I want to end, with that beautiful old song. It just says, a change has come over me. And then the text says, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Because I'm just going to tell you, a change, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful change has come over me. If you will but ask, says the Lord, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful change will come over you. Amen.